just repeat last time the phrase. Once when I was visiting the artist Eugene Kazimierowski, who was painting the image, and thought it was not as beautiful as Jesus is, I felt very sad about it. But I hid this deep in my heart. When we had left the artist's house, Mother Superior Irene stayed in town to attend some matters while I returned home alone. I went immediately to the chapel and wept a good deal. I said to the Lord, "Who will paint you as beautiful as you are?" Then I heard these words, "Not in the beauty of the color, nor of the brush lies the greatness of this image, but in my grace." When I went to the garden one afternoon, my guardian angel said to me, "Pray for the dying." And I began at once to pray the rosary with the gardeners for the dying. After the rosary, we said various prayers for the dying. After the prayers, the wards began to chat gaily among themselves. In spite of the noise they were making, I heard these words in my soul, "Pray for me." But as I could not understand these words very well, I moved a few steps away from the wards, trying to think who it could be who was asking me to pray. Then I heard the words, "I'm Sister so-so-so." This sister was in Warsaw, while I was at that time in Vilnius. Quote, "Pray for me until I tell you to stop. I'm dying." Close. Immediately, I began to pray fervently for her to the expiring heart of Jesus. She gave me no respite, and I kept praying from 3 o'clock until 5. At 5, I heard the words, "Thank you," and I understood that she had died. But during Holy Mass on the following day, I continued to pray fervently for her soul. In the afternoon, a postcard came saying that Sister So-so had died at such and such a time. I understood that it was at the same time when she had said to me, "Pray for me." Mother of God, your soul was plunged into a sea of bitterness. Look upon your child and teach her to suffer and to love while suffering. Fortify my soul, that pain will not break it. Mother of grace, teach me to live by the power of God. That's your prayer. Once, the Mother of God came to visit me. She was sad. Her eyes were cast down. She made it clear that she wanted to say something. And yet, on the other hand, it was as if she did not want to speak to me about it. When I understood this, I began to beg the Mother of God to tell me and to look at me. Just then, Mary looked at me with a warm smile and said, "You are going to experience certain sufferings because of an illness and the doctors. You will also suffer much because of the image, but do not be afraid of anything." So much suffering. The next day I felt ill and suffered a great deal, just as the Mother of God had told me. But my soul was ready for the sufferings. Suffering is a constant companion of my life. Imagine, so much grace, so much you have to offer. Don't take it for granted. I got all so much grace. You have to pay for it. You have to pay for the price. With joy, pay attention. Not because you are so not a gloomy face. always smiling. Oh my God, my only hope, I've placed all my trust in you, and I know I shall not be disappointed. This real trust, we have to, even we can't see or we can't taste yet, we have to trust, believe. I often feel God's presence after Holy Communion in a special and tangible way. I know God is in my heart. It is a fact. And the fact that I feel him in my heart does not interfere with my duties. Even when I'm dealing with very important matters which require attention, I do not lose the presence of God in my soul, and I'm closely united with him. That's real contemplation. Stay with God, even when you're cooking, when you're caring of the kids. You are with God, with Jesus. That's a real contemplation. So you make your place as a convent, alone with the Lord always. When with him I go to work, with him I go for recreation, with him I suffer, with him I rejoice. I live in him and he in me. I am never alone, because he is my constant companion. He is present to me at every moment. Our intimacy is very close through a union of blood and of life. When we receive the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, his blood, his flesh, becomes our blood and the flesh. So he is so close to us, even closer than we close to ourselves. That's the point we have to stay with. That's our paradise on earth. Don't wait. Don't wait next life. Today, we can have the opportunity. August 9th, 1934. Light adoration on Thursdays. I make my hour of adoration from 11 till midnight. I offer it for the conversion of the hardened sinners, especially for those who have lost hope in God's mercy. I was reflecting on how much God had suffered and on how great was the love he had shown for us, and on the fact that we still do not believe that God loves us so much. We are obstinate, seeing but not seeing. We are not present. We live in something else, not in the presence of the Lord. O Jesus, who can understand this? What suffering it is for our Savior. He's suffering not so much for his pain, physical pain, but for our obstinate hearts. A closeness of our hearts, it's more pain for Jesus. He's pure love, and we don't share our love with him. That's his pain. We're piecing him again in his hand. How can he convince us of his love if even his death cannot convince me? I called upon the whole of heaven to join me in making attempts to the Lord for the ingratitude of certain souls. Not only certain, most souls. Jesus made known to me how very pleasing to him were prayers of atonement. He said to me, "The prayer of a humble and loving soul disarms the anger of my Father and draws down an ocean of blessings." The prayer of a humble and loving soul disarms the anger of my Father and draws down an ocean of blessings. After the adoration, halfway to my cell, I was surrounded by a pack of huge black dogs who were jumping and howling and trying to tear me to pieces. I realized that they were not dogs, but demons. One of them spoke up in a rage, "Because you have snatched so many souls away from us this night. We will tear you to pieces. I answered, if that is the will of the most merciful God, tear me to pieces, for I have justly deserved it, because I am the most miserable of all sinners, and God is very holy, just, and infinitely merciful. To these words, all the demons answered as one, let us flee, for she is not alone. The Almighty is with her. So don't be afraid. Keep Jesus in you, with you. Otherwise, horrible. They will be attacked. And they vanished like dust, like the noise of the roar. While I continued on my way to my room, where I sat undisturbed, finishing my Te Deum and pondering the infinite and unfathomable mercy of God. You see, keep Jesus in you always. So keep as you are the living tabernacle or your victorium. Keep Jesus there. Once Jesus says, Mary, our Heavenly Mother, is the most beautiful Chiporium on earth because he contained the Word of God, Jesus. And we share the same honor to keep Jesus. Why can't we then simply doesn't live up to? We don't keep Jesus much. We fade, but Jesus still remains. And you. But if you close the door, look what he can have. Keep him. There's lots of temptations, lots of attacks. August 12th, 1934. A sudden illness, a mortal suffering. It was not death. That is to say, a passing over to real life, but a taste of the sufferings of death. Although it gives us eternal life, death is dreadful. Suddenly, I felt sick. I gasped for breath. There was darkness before my eyes. My limbs grew numb. And there was a terrible suffocation. If a moment of such suffocation is extremely long, there also comes a strange fear in spite of trust. You know, even you trust. So you have to experience, go through the turmoil. I wanted to receive the last sacrament, but it was extremely difficult to make a confession, even though I decided to do so. The person doesn't know what he is saying. Not finishing one thing, he begins another. Oh, may God keep every soul from delaying confession until the last hour. I understood the great power of the priest's words when they are poured out upon the sick person's soul. When I asked my spiritual father whether I was ready to stand before the Lord and whether I could be at peace, I received a reply, you can be completely at peace, not only right now, but after each weekly confession. Console her. She's afraid to go to hell. Great is the divine grace that accompanies these words of the priest. The soul feels power and courage for battle. Oh, my congregation, my mother, how sweet it is to live in you. But it is even better to die in you. After receiving the last sacraments, there was a definite improvement. I remained alone. This lasted for half an hour, and then came another attack, but this one was not so strong as the doctor intervened. I united my suffering with the suffering of Jesus and offered them for myself and for the conversion of souls who do not trust in the goodness of God. Suddenly, my cell was filled with black figures full of anger and hatred for me. One of them said, be damned, you and he who is within you, for you are beginning to torment us even in hell. As soon as I said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the figures vanished in a sudden veil. So see, your prayer is very useful. Your kingdom come. Now also can thy kingdom come. If we are living just for ourselves in the flesh, we're enclosed by the demons. They want to squeeze every inch to attack us, to keep us away from the Lord. So we have to stay firm before the Lord. Don't just go away. Keep him. Even you left this chapel, keep him. The next day, I feel very weak, but experienced no further suffering. After Holy Communion, I saw the Lord Jesus just as I had seen him during one adoration. The Lord's gaze pierced my soul through and through, and not even the least speck of dust escaped his notice. And I said to Jesus, "Jesus, I thought you were going to take me." And Jesus answered, "My will has not yet been fully accomplished in you. You will still remain on earth, but not for long. I am well pleased with your trust, but your love should be more ardent. Pure love gives the soul strength at the very moment of dying. So learn to die all the moment, so that you can die more peace." When I was dying on the cross, I was not thinking about myself, but about poor sinners, and I pray for them to my Father. So you too, longing for yourself, praying for the need, those in need, especially for their soul, people you know, you don't know, that's a concern. That's keep you in peace. You don't need for yourself, only for God, for his grace. You know, Jesus has two wishes. One is, I forgot, the second one is for sinners, me too. I want your last moments to be completely similar to mine on the cross. This is but one price at which souls are bought, and that is suffering and united to my suffering on the cross. So this is the price. You, with Jesus on the cross, praying for people, that's the point. Pure love understands these words. Kind of love will never understand them. If you keep the worldly things so much so, you can't understand what Jesus was saying. But if we really live for his will, or all your life trying to be like his, you won't come to understand what does it mean to live, to pray for atonement for the souls. On the day of the Assumption of the Mother of God, I did not assist at Holy Mass. The woman doctor did not allow me, but I prayed fervently in my cell. After a short time, I saw the Mother of God, unspeakably beautiful. She said to me, "My daughter, what I demand from you is prayer, prayer, and once again, prayer for the world, and especially for your country, for, not just for your health, for your child, for your family, of course, greater thing, for the conversion of the world. For 9 days, receive Holy Communion, your atonement, and unite yourself closely to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass." That's Our Lady told her. "During these 9 days, you will stand before God as an offering, always and everywhere, at all times and places, day or night. Whenever you wake up, pray in the Spirit. In spirit, one can always remain in prayer. always and everywhere, at all times, in place and places, days or nights. Whenever you wake up, pray in the Spirit, always in His presence. In spirit, but you always remain in prayer. So most of the time when we take the rosary, maybe we are not in spirit, so we are all distracted. Maturely, we're saying the prayer, but spiritually, we are not in that spirit. We are not in His presence yet, not so much. That's why when you said the rosary, we wasn't aware. We said already, and to what extent you are just. Once Jesus said to me, "My gaze from this image is not my gaze from the cross." So the gaze from Jesus is the same gaze of His from the cross. The cross, Jesus really looking at the sinners, wanting all to be saved. That's it. His greatness, His mercy. Once my confessor, Father Sopulchra, asked me where the inscription should be placed, the phrase. Jesus, I trust in you, that's in Chinese, no? So Father Sopulchra asked her, where we put the words, by the side, on the top, on the bottom, because there was not enough space in the picture for everything. I answered, I will pray and give you an answer next week. She has to ask Jesus where to put the words. When I left the confessional and was passing before the Blessed Sacrament, I received an inner understanding about inscription. Jesus reminded me of what He had told me the first time, namely, that these three words must be clearly in evidence. Jesus, I trust in you. Understood that Jesus wanted the whole formula to be there, but He gave no direct orders to this effect, as He did for these three words. So even not clear which area. He said, no space, the whole, I'm offering people a vessel with which they are to keep coming for graces to the fountain of mercy. The vessel is this image with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. So that's exactly, Jesus, I trust in you. O curious enough, rule in all your plenitude in my heart, and happy to do your holy will most faithfully. Toward the end of the 3 days retreat, I saw myself walking along a rough path. I kept stumbling continually, and I saw following me the figure of a person who kept supporting me. I was not happy with this and asked the person to leave me alone, and I wanted to walk on my own. But a figure, whom I could not recognize, did not leave me for a moment. I got impatient and turned around and pushed the person away from me. At that moment I saw it was Mother Superior, and at the same moment I saw that it was not Mother Superior, but the Lord Jesus, who looked deep into me and gave me to understand how painful it was to Him when I did not, even the smallest thing, do my superior's will, which is my will. I asked pardon of the Lord and took the warning very much to heart. Jesus wasn't happy because she didn't listen very much to the superior's obedience. You see, she pushed poor away. That's a Mother Superior. That's an image. Then Jesus come. Don't do that. Don't pull the Mother Superior away. Keep her words. Listen to Him. To her means listen to me. No. Once the confessor told me to pray for his intention, and I began a novena to the Mother of God. This novena consists in the prayer, Hail Holy Queen, recited 9 times. Toward the end of the novena, I saw the Mother of God with the infant Jesus in her arms, and also saw my confessor kneeling at her feet and talking with her. I did not understand what he was saying to her, because I was busy talking with the infant Jesus, who came down from his mother's arms and approached me. I could not stop wondering at his beauty. I heard a few of the words that the Mother of God spoke to him, to the confessor, but not everything. The words were, "I am not only the Queen of Heaven, but also Mother of Mercy and your mother." And at that moment, she stretched out her right hand in which she was clasping her mantle, and she covered the priest with it. At the moment, the vision vanished, and the mantle of her Heavenly Mother. Oh, how great a grace it is to have a spiritual director. One makes more rapid progress in virtue, sees the will of God more clearly, fulfills it more faithfully, and follows a road that is sure and free of danger. The director knows how to avoid the rocks against which the soul could be shattered. The Lord gave me His grace rather late, to be sure, but I rejoice in it greatly, seeing how God inclines His will to my director's wishes. I will mention just one incident out of a thousand that have happened to me. As I usually do, I asked the Lord Jesus one evening to give me the points for next day's meditation. I received the answer: meditate on the prophet Jonah and his mission. Jonah, the one who's I thanked the Lord, but began to think within myself of how different the subject was from the others. But with all my soul, I strove to meditate about it, and I recognized myself in the person of the prophet, myself, the prophet Jonah, in the sense that often I, too, try to make excuses to the Lord, claim that someone else would do His holy will better than I could, and not understanding that God can do all things and that His omnipotence will be all the more manifest if the tool is poorer. Not because you're great. God is great. You're useless, but you'll be His instrument. So let us try to live, be His instrument. We are nothing but with Him, with Jesus. Okay?